All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up?
We started talking here and we realized we got to start rolling.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I feel like
the tables have turned.
First of all, the tables have turned. And second of all, I'm just so excited to see what happens. At this week's podcast, I woke up this morning and I started thinking about it. I was like, oh man, I can't wait to see what happens.
Oh man. Hey. Big news this week.
There's a lot to cover.
There's a ton to cover.
If I was a listener, I would probably get out a notebook and a pencil.
Start writing this down.
Keep some notes handy. I don't want you going into the middle of July not remembering some of the important stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear that gobble?
Hey, Disney, man.
Yeah.
They're on a kick with these live action things.
They're on a roll.
Yeah. And won't even say they're making a splash. But not Splash the movie, which would be even better.
I think you're all wet.
The Little Mermaid. Rumor is they've cast Melissa McCarthy as Ursula.
That's not true.
It's not true.
No, they're walking that back.
They're walking it back? Why?
I don't know.
Did Guy Fieri say he's available? Just take a minute, look at a picture of Ursula, and then look at a picture of Guy Fieri and tell me that wouldn't be the perfect role.
That would be the perfect, either that or Jay Leno.
Touche.
I feel like, I'm sorry that Melissa McCarthy's not doing this role, but in a way it was a little bit, and this is no disrespect to Melissa McCarthy, I love her, she's super talented, but it was a little bit obvious.
Yeah.
Like, let's get something that's like a stretch. Like, let's get somebody fun and not that she's not fun. But I guess I just feel like, on the one hand, if I was a hardcore Little Mermaid fan, then I'd be maybe nervous. But, like, who cares? Like, let's get somebody else and let's get to it.
10 years ago, they would have cast Glenn Close as Ursula.
Do you know... Touché. Do you know... Are you following the story about Ariel?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that, because I saw the headlines and I sort of saw some memes on Facebook, but you got a story there?
Yeah, so they cast, and I'm most definitely saying the name wrong.
Okay.
Hale Bailey, which is kind of like Halle Berry.
Right, but it's not.
Hale Bailey, yeah. Okay. Maybe it's even Halle Bale. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Let's just call her Hillbilly.
Yeah, Hillbilly.
The irony there would be just too sweet to pass up.
It has been cast as Ariel. And I guess people are a little miffed because she's of, I don't know, a tan descent?
She African-American?
She might be African-American or Latino. I don't know. She's got darker skin and she's not red-haired.
God forbid.
And I think that has people, like, in an uproar. Let's not forget, we're talking about fish people.
Right.
So,
touché.
Yeah. They could still give her red hair. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. She's a young actress. She looks like she could probably play the part fine. I don't know anything about her.
Just from, and again, I didn't dig in. I don't have any real details. We'll try to get some more for the next episode. But this was kind of late breaking right before we mm-hmm. recorded. But just sort of my position is kind of like, I like it. I think these live action movies are fantastic. I'm a fan. I've been very happy with all the ones that have come out. But they're kind of coming out almost like, and this sounds like obvious, but they're almost like coming out exactly like the comic books brought to life. Or not the comic books, but the original ones brought to life.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be cool to see one that does stretch a little bit. You know, that
right.
You know, sort of takes some liberties and sort of adds some dimensions and Yeah, I think it would be cool. So, you know, I think if they can bring some diversity to the cast, that would be cool.
Right. That's like my main complaint with these live action ones is that they look great and then you sit down for the first 20 minutes and wowed, and then I'm like, I've been here.
Right.
After that.
Exactly.
It's not bad, but like at the same time, I've done this before.
That's exactly right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe shake it up a little bit.
Whatever. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. Guy Fieri, what's he doing?
Yeah, what's up? Somebody call Jay, get him out of his classic car garage.
Get all of them to play Ursula in different scenes.
Ooh.
And like, you never really quite get a good look of what
into she's... the Ursula verse.
All right, hit me with something here, Penn.
All right, I got one for you.
Okay.
I think this is pretty good news. This is certainly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher McQuarrie and Henry Cavill?
I think it's Cavill.
Cavill. Pitched a Superman movie to Warners that tied in to a Green Lantern reboot. So, we already have a Green Lantern reboot on the books, right?
Well, we have the Ryan Reynolds one.
Is that happening?
No, I mean, that happened.
Oh, right. No, that already happened. And I think there's a Green Lantern reboot in, like, 2022.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Green Lanterns were in Justice League. Different ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're waiting to announce who the new Green Lantern is going to be. In other words, it's a reboot. It's not another Ryan Reynolds one.
Right.
But anyway, these two guys pitched a Superman tie-in, like a Superman Green Lantern. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
And Warner Brothers told him to go screw.
That's crazy. I don't understand because they'll do anything.
Well, I was just going to say, if I'm Warner Brothers, and I think it would be the most generous thing that I can say is they're having some mixed results with their, you know.
Yeah.
Marvel is one home run after another,
uh-huh.
Right? I'm not saying Warner Brothers isn't getting on base, but it's not one home run after another. They're getting a walk, a couple strikeouts.
Yeah.
They got a couple doubles. What's a triple? You think, was Wonder Woman a home run?
You kind of lost me when you started with the sports stuff. I mean, I'm just faking it from here on out.
The sports talk.
I know you're talking about sports, and I'm pretty sure it's baseball.
Okay, but you get my point.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like if Warner Brothers has two talented people in this Christopher McQuarrie and Henry Cavill, and two talented people with a fresh idea – what's the problem here?
Right.
Why?
If you want to get a three-pointer, you got to pass the buck.
That's all I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, if you don't shoot, you're never going to get the touchdown.
The Penn Cinema Podcast. If you don't shoot, you'll never get the touchdown. Oh, man.
Hey, can we take a little side trip here?
Yeah.
Speaking of sport,
oh,
you excited for the Tour de France?
Man, I didn't even realize what was happening.
And there's like the women's gold cup.
Oh.
Soccer club.
I knew that was happening.
There's a soccer club fight match game. I don't know what to call it. Match.
I know there's lots of memes out about it.
Yeah.
But I don't
Everybody's
know
super
mean.
Excited. Yeah.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Pumped is what it'd be.
I have to tell you, it is a little unusual, but there's a section of people who have this strange affliction, and I'm one of them, which is following the Tour de France.
Okay.
And it is an affliction because it's 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a massive affair, and I think it's the most incredible sporting event ever.
Didn't you show it here once?
We did. Yeah. Wow. So anyway, Tour de France is up and running.
Whoa.
And the rest of the world, as we speak, is watching, I believe, women's soccer.
My question is, why aren't you in the Tour de France? I mean, you already proven that you can run farther than
obviously.
That. Come on, man. Hey, I got a shocker for you.
Hit me.
Almost as shocking as you not being in the Tour de France.
Right.
They're saying no plans for Hellboy 2.
Don't say it.
I know.
Stop.
David Harbour says...
Oh, well,
if he's
saying it.
He says they haven't talked to him about doing number two.
Because the first one was a number two.
Yeah, exactly. The first one was a number two. I mean, I wish I could say I was shocked. I wish I could say I didn't hate that movie.
Did you read a news story about this, or did you just, like, see a quote?
I read, like, Yeah, kind of like a quote thing.
The reason why I ask is because I'd like to see the interview with this guy. Like, if anybody who was remotely involved in Hellboy expresses any kind of, like, dismay or surprise that there's not going to be a Hellboy 2, like, I'd like to watch that. I'd like to see the level of denial come to life in somebody who is walking around saying there should be a Hellboy 2.
What I want to do is talk to the guy. I don't remember his name. He's in the Midway movie.
Okay.
And he was supposed to... You didn't even watch Hellboy 2, right? No, only I did, right?
Right. Hellboy 1.
Hellboy 1. Sorry. Right. Hellboy, the one we forgot.
Right.
There was a guy in it that turns into a werewolf thing.
Okay.
And he's played by an Asian guy because in the comics he's Asian.
Okay.
But originally he was cast as a white guy. And then that white guy was like, it became a thing. And he's like, whoa, I'm just going to back out. Like, no big deal. Like, I don't want to, like, this should go where it should go. Like,
yeah.
I don't need this gig. It's fine. Yeah. What I really think is what he was like, whoa, I don't want any part of this script.
This movie's going
to
suck.
Yes. This is a nice place for me to exit. And I want to talk to him and it's like watch him just laugh.
I'd like to talk to him and be like, what was your first sign? At what page number were you on when you decided this sucked?
How happy were you when this started to become a big deal?
Right.
And did you start it?
Right. All right. Speaking of incredibly epic Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
The Mask. Remember the classic Jim Carrey movie?
I do remember
that. Yeah, The Mask was creator Mike Richardson is looking for a female-led reboot.
Mm. This is interesting.
It is interesting.
I loved The Mask as a kid.
Sure.
The second one I know I did never see.
Nobody
never saw,
did.
Right. I know the comics are extremely graphic. Never watched, never read them. I wonder if The Mask could be made now. And if it could be, if it would have the same impact. And I'm curious to see how it would be with a female role. Like, that just seems like it might be dangerous.
I think your instincts are correct, are headed in the right direction, because I did read this full interview because I found it really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He referenced how Stan Lee makes the comment that, with great power comes great responsibility. That's like the line, right?
Yeah.
And he looks at this guy, Mike Richardson, looks at it at the flip side of that same coin, which is absolute power corrupts absolutely, which I believe was actually the original, you know, sort of saying. And so he's looking at when I read between the lines and sort of, you know, I think that he's a little curious about the darker side, you know, of the mask. And it could, like you're suggesting, take a little bit more of an ugly turn and still be hilarious, and he has a female comedian in mind who he won't name.
I saw that, yeah. Yeah. I guess I just wonder, like when the mask put on, when Jim Carrey put it on, he became a very, like, powered up, I don't know, how am I saying, like a sex-crazed, like, character.
Right.
You know? Does that work as a female character in today's day and age? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I think it does. I think female empowerment, you know. I think it absolutely works.
Mm. I think there's a fine line in that and making it a character that just panders to male audiences.
Okay, well,
it's a tight rope to walk.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not in charge, so.
Who's the strong female comedian?
Oh, man.
Kate McKinnon.
You think? Well, I mean, she's the obvious answer. You think she'd do it?
No. I don't know. Maybe she would, but I just said that because she's my favorite.
She's directing now, so she's like moving up.
Yeah.
Up the.
She's A-list.
Charlie's Angels. She's directing that.
Yeah. Is she really?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
At least producing. I thought she was directing.
I don't think she's directing it.
Mm.
Didn't we report last week there's a director? Let me go to our.
Go to the back notes.
Go to the notes here. Last week, Naomi Harris, no, Charlie's Angel, Elizabeth Banks is directing.
Oh, okay.
And she's also playing Boz.
Okay, I got him confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once. Oh, Awkwafina could play The Mask.
Hmm. I think there's a lot of, who's Tiffany Haddish?
Oh, yeah.
She's in everything. Put her in that. She'd dig that.
Although I don't know, he made the comment physical comedian.
Oh.
So you got to be somebody who's willing to throw themselves around a little bit. All right, moving on. Tough guy.
Again, Garrett Tup.
Oh, God. Hit me. You know,
all right.
It's been a while since we've had proper Dune news.
Right, and this is like big Dune news.
OK. Okay.
A lot of stuff going on in the Dune War. Brian Herbert, Frank Herbert's son.
Yeah.
He came out, and Brian's also written a bunch of the subsequent Dune novels. He came out and said, there's more coming. Besides the TV show.
What?
The Bene Gesserit TV show. There's more things coming. He signed a deal. He can't say what it is. Just like, get ready. It's big. It's exciting. So right now we've got the TV show. We've got two movies. Because they split Dune into two. And and then I know there's a board game coming. I can only assume there's a video game coming. I know they opened like a park named after him with a trail in Seattle or something. So who knows what this
is. So the Herbert family is sitting pretty.
Well, I mean, they have stuff happening.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanksgiving's going to be busy.
Here's the thing. I think we said it came out 2021. It's 2020, according to Brian's recent post for the first movie.
Yeah.
So get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we did say 2020 because that's your birthday.
Yeah.
Or are you having a birthday every year now?
Well, I was going to start at this. I figured we were probably about ready to start doing that. I'm kind of a big deal.
David's the kind of guy who wants to have a birthday every year.
At the same time.
Same time, because that's when we had it last year.
Break tradition, man.
Amy was working with a young kid in, I want to say he was in kindergarten maybe. Mm-hmm. She was
it's
treating
to
him.
Have someone working.
She was working with him on pencil grip or whatever he needed some sort of extra attention in school. Mm-hmm. And she was talking with him, being the engaging occupational therapist mm-hmm. that she is, and he was all kinds of excited. And she said, "Why are you so excited? What's the big news?" And he said, "He just found out they're having Christmas again this year." They just had it last year, and they're going to have it again this year.
What?
Santa Claus is coming back.
Whoa. Oh,
his mind was blown. He was so excited.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was you when you found out I had a birthday every year.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, man.
I feel like the only thing appropriate to follow up this is if you could give me some sort of Star Wars news.
I'm going to give you some Star Wars news,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to save the Batgirl news to wrap up our news segment, because that, to me, is the best story of the week.
Mm.
All right. Star Wars news. I think we have what? Where are we? We have 5 months till
yeah.
Star Wars?
Yeah.
So we better wrap up Endgame here soon, or I'm going to still be playing Endgame when I freaking open Star Wars. Endgame is going into its 12th week.
Holy smokes.
Had a solid opening, mm-hmm. Solid weekend, I mean, over the 4th of July weekend, and looks to be heading strong. I mean, I think, for me, Endgame is now in the zone where if I can just play it once a day, which I'll find out tomorrow, meaning Monday, it could be here for the rest of the summer.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
So we'll see if that holds up or not. It depends how greedy Disney wants to get. And our friend Mark Ponce informed me this morning that it comes out on digital like later this month, later
yeah.
July.
Yeah, and then
July 30th,
Blu-ray
I think.
In August.
Yeah. So we'll see if I still have it in the theater come August.
Wow.
But anyways, the Star Wars news mm-hmm. was pretty neat. Daisy Ridley is talking about episode 9 and said that she – or I forget if – I read the article twice and I wasn't clear if she was reporting fact or making idle conversation. But it was reported that she said that episode 9 is finally going to bring an end to the millennia-long conflict between the Jedi Order and the Sith, one of these groups going to be destroyed for good. David?
Here's the thing. This doesn't mean anything to me because that's like saying Kung Fu school and the Taekwondo school, one of them's gonna end. But karate still exists. Like, you know, it's like the Force isn't going away.
Wait. Hold the phone here.
Yeah.
Did you just make not only a sports reference, but like a complicated, in-depth, next-level sports reference? Because it went over my head, because I don't know the difference between karate, tai chi, kung
fu,
fuck me. All the shit. I don't know any of it.
Well, okay, so...
So, tell me, break this metaphor down that you just
a little bit simpler.
Spelled out.
Okay. Okay, let me put it in the the sports terms. I'm going to stretch myself here. The AFC and the NFL.
Right.
Super Bowl is going to happen.
Right.
And when it does, one of them is going to end forever. But football's still around, baby.
But football's still around. Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's like Force users are still going to be around. They're just not going to be Jedi. I mean, there's one Jedi left.
Gotcha.
Right? And Kylo is not technically a Sith, so...
Podcast at PennCinema.com if you caught David's football miscue.
Oh, my miscue?
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
Don't the AFC and the NFL go together? The
AFC and the NFC.
NFC.
Comprise the NFL. But your metaphor, now that you put it in football terms, makes complete sense to me.
Right.
Right, but this karate.
Karate.
Karate madness. I didn't follow.
See, I did karate.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Taekwondo and Mudo Kwan.
What?
I know, girl.
What? So are you a badass? Like if I came at you, you'd like karate chop my neck fault?
Oh, man. Let me just tell you a line I used as a teenager. to one of my girlfriends, she then threw back at me 100 million times. I was like, girl, don't ever try and slap me because I won't even know what I'm doing and I'll stop you.
Did you say stab you or
stop you?
Stop you.
Yeah, I was like, and I was like, it's just instinct.
So do you wear your black belt everywhere you go, or is it like under your shorts?
I always wear it underneath. I don't want to show off
scare
too much.
People.
Yeah, but I always have it on.
Okay. chicks dig me.
You don't understand how hard it is to live this life.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
You remind me of that line in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood trailer where the guy's like, my hands are weapons. We can do a fight. I kill you. I go to jail. And Brad Pitt's like, yeah, it's called manslaughter. I had no idea you were a lethal weapon.
Dude.
I mean, something about you has always made me a little nervous.
Right.
I'm always a little scared when I'm around you, but now I know why.
With good cause.
Right. All right. So what you're saying is this Star Wars story is... obvious and irrelevant at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just still feel like it's news.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's interesting that they're saying, but how many times have we been, like, since Star Wars has been around, it's always been like, the Jedi were destroyed. Oh, wait, hey, here's someone who's going to pick it up and take up the mantle.
Right.
Luke or any of the TV characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, okay. They're destroyed, but anyone can pick up a book and decide, hey, now I'm a Jedi now, or I'm going to follow the Sith or whatever. So it's whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. So
I hope you're not going to take this dismissive attitude on every Star Wars story that I bring.
I'm just a little cocky because I know the Avengers won.
Spaceballs is coming.
Spaceballs is coming.
All right. Well... speaking of huge news, what are you doing on July 29th, 2022?
Mm.
You don't even know, but
probably,
I'll tell you.
Probably looking in the mirror at my while I wear a black belt.
Admiring myself.
You are bad. Tough guy alert.
Oh my God. That's awesome. She was right. You are irresistible. With the she being your mom. Uncle. Okay. All right. We got news.
Yeah.
July 29th. All right, I'm reporting this news story as a vehicle for pointing out some new trend that I find fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sorry, pardon my French.
Yeah.
I try not to be so obvious with the F word, but listen, this thing on the release calendar, we are now booked all the way out to July 29th of 2022 with a movie that is called, are you ready?
Yeah.
Untitled Marvel Movie 8.
The eighth untitled movie.
Right. Come on. I think that's a little ridiculous.
That's uber ridiculous.
Uber ridiculous. Yes.
You know that date's going to change anyway.
Right.
Once they say the name and then DC's like, well, we're releasing like
Aquaman 2.
Aquaman 2. And they're like, oh, shit. Yeah. You can't do that.
Right. So I'm just pointing out a little, it's a little ridiculous in my mind how, and again, I say it with all due respect because Marvel clearly king of the, king of the box office. No problem. But I just don't like this.
I wonder, so Comic-Con's like close. Right. Don't ask me when. I don't know. It just happens. Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con's coming. Yeah. And I would bet major money that they're going to release the next like slew of movie titles.
Yeah.
And it'll be a guess as to which one this one is, I bet. That's crazy.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap up the news with my favorite story of the week.
Yeah.
When I was little, I watched Batman, like I'm sure you did, the TV version with Adam West.
Yeah.
And every now and then, you'd be watching the opening sequence, and at the end of the opening sequence, Batgirl would cross the screen on her little motorcycle.
What?
And those were always my favorite episodes. I've had a mad crush on Batgirl my entire life.
Oh, clearly.
And now I find out that there is an actual Batgirl movie coming out from Warner Brothers with a release date to be announced.
Whoa.
And starring to be announced.
Whoa!
So I will give Warner Brothers credit for not, you know, putting a pin in July of 2023 and saying untitled Warner Brothers movie.
Wasn't somebody big was supposed to do this? It was either Joss Whedon or Kevin Smith was supposed to direct this.
Well, Warner's is actively seeking a female director.
Like I said, Joss Whedon.
I think that's good news. I'm excited for it. And shout out, I don't know if she's a listener or not, but we have our own Batgirl in the Penn Cinema universe named Joan.
Joan of Arc.
Right. Joan of War. And I always teased her, said she was like Batgirl, because every now and then she'd call us out of she worked in the home office up there in accounting, and every now and then she'd call, and I told her, oh, you're like Batgirl. So that's our own little running joke, so I'll give a shout out to Joan. So that's the news. You got any last bit of news tidbits?
Here's a little bit of news.
Okay.
How you subsequently worked your way into my weird life.
Okay.
Karate-filled life.
Karate.
I got an email from one mom's and said, hey, maybe this would be a good gift for Penn someday.
Oh, boy.
So now I'm getting gift ideas for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
So wait a minute. Your mom sent a link to you for something you should buy for me.
Yeah. God, I don't want to tell you in case I do someday.
I hope it socks. Yeah. I hope with all my might it socks.
And here's the thing. I was like, dang, she's right.
That's awful. Oh, man.
So anyway, that's news.
All right. So listeners, I mean, I'm open to give suggestions for David. I want to have something on hand. So he shows up here one day with a gift, you know. I'm sure I got something around here for you.
Can you take this photo of my family?
Right. Here's Marley when she was two.
Let's move into trailers.
All right. I thought we had some great trailers. Now, one of us did his job and watched all the trailers.
Yeah, right. Admittedly, one of us did not watch all the trailers this week. We'll see who it was.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Let's start off with Jacob's Ladder.
Okay.
Did you watch this trailer?
I did.
Okay. Do you remember the old Jacob's Ladder?
I do, from 1990.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw it, but I remember seeing it at Blockbuster. It dates it. But, so I guess this is a guy's brother dies in a war or something, And then they find him a year later, and he should have been dead, but they never found the body. Now he's alive. And Jacob thinks that his brother's back and there are demons or something coming for him or something. Visually looks interesting. I don't know.
So here's the thing. There's two types of listeners today.
Yeah.
There's the people who saw Jacob's Ladder back in 1990 and the people who didn't.
Right.
The people who saw Jacob's Ladder are probably like, they probably get it.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. People who did not are going to watch this new Jacob's Ladder trailer and think to themselves, oh, this movie looks like crap.
Mm.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm not spoiling anything by saying, you know, there's some pretty good twists and turns. I don't think this is a remake of the original Jacob's Ladder, but I can tell from the trailer that it's a very similar premise. Because the original Jacob's Ladder in 1990, I think the guy's son dies, or there's some there's a very similar connection.
Okay.
I think it's father son. But anyway, he's it looks like it's not a remake, but if you watch the original Jacob's Ladder, which I strongly recommend. This movie was a little bit of a throwaway movie. It had Tim Robbins in it, and I think it was before – it was maybe one of his earlier movies. This is a great movie. I'm not sure this new one is going to be great based on the trailer.
Yeah.
But the first one was great.
I thought, like, the visuals looked trippy, but I wasn't really sure that it looked interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So anyway, that's one. Then we had Rabbit.
You mean Carrie?
I don't think it's Carrie. Did you watch the whole trailer?
No. I watched part of it.
The truth
and then I thought
is
to
revealed.
I watched part of it, and then I thought to myself, I don't have this many minutes in a day. I got better stuff to do. I would rather lean back in my chair and stare at the ceiling tiles than watch the rest of this trailer.
It's basically a zombie movie.
It's basically a bad zombie movie.
Yeah, bad zombie. It looks like they took a bunch of ideas that have been done before and threw them together.
Including Carrie.
Yeah. So girl gets injured, gets plastic surgery with experimental technology that makes her crave blood. And then everyone she bites subsequently also craves blood. So it's like vampire thing. And they're like, if everyone gets bitten...
Is this World War Z all over again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be... And it doesn't even look good. Like, it just looks bad. So... Maybe don't put this one on your list.
Here's the podcast recommendation.
Yeah.
Don't watch a movie. Don't watch a trailer.
Yeah. Don't... Yeah,
save yourself.
Just save yourself.
Spend 2.5 minutes staring at the ceiling. You'll be better off.
I'm not even sure it's going to get, like, a release. Like, I couldn't tell.
It won't come to Penn Cinema. Tell you that much.
Whoa.
I'm sure the producers are going to be shook when they hear that news.
What?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
God, actually, the real reaction is going to be, what now? Who?
No, they're still thinking about what that gift could be.
Where is Lilitz?
Lilitz?
every studio that I deal with is afraid to pronounce Lilitz.
Mm.
And so what they do, it's just funny how unrelated to each other they somehow put another L in the middle.
Really?
And like all these guys, like it happens all the time. They say, okay, we're good for Huntington Valley, good for Wilmington, and good for Lilitz. Or they say it real slow. Liz.
I remember when I was working in the area, we'd always have truck drivers call in for scheduling, and they'd be like, what's the name of this town? And we'd say it, and they'd be like, for real?
For real? All right, speaking of bad trailers, there was a trailer on here that I couldn't find, and you, I think, I mean, we'll have to replay the tape. Let me... Here's David saying, Penn, you didn't watch the whole trailer? So tell me about the trailer for Luz. Did you enjoy the whole thing?
Oh, my favorite part was about 35 seconds in when I was like, nah, we're not gonna review this. And I turned it off. Luz, L-U-Z. Supposedly a horror film. I don't know, because I turned it on and it was subtitled. And I got like 35 seconds in and I was like, nah, this is never gonna show here. And I turned it off.
I couldn't even find the trailer.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to say it because I found it pretty easy. So, hey, if you want to check out a movie I don't know anything about, Penn doesn't even know if it really exists. L-U-Z, Luz, is a horror film in another language, which I didn't identify. Could be good. I wouldn't know.
All right. I think that you think the trailer of the week is Jumanji.
I definitely think trailer of the week is Jumanji.
I think trailer of the week is Spies in Disguise.
Really? I can't make a good argument because I also did not watch Spies in Disguise.
So you're not prepared to compare it to Shaun the Sheep Farmageddon. What'd you think of that trailer?
I also didn't watch that one.
Oh, snap. Oh,
keep in
boy.
Mind, I made this list.
All right, Jumanji. This was an outstanding trailer. I agree.
Oh, my goodness. Here's the thing. Like, when they said they were making a Jumanji 2.
Right.
A sequel to the other one or whatever, right. Which is a sequel to the first one. I was like, I mean, okay, cool. It was fun. It was actually, like, really fun. Surprisingly good.
It's great.
I don't know how they'll do it again. Like, how can they really make it that interesting? Right. Hold your horses, because they found a way. And it looks great. And so they're switching up the character roles. So, like, the same kids aren't the same kids.
Right.
And The Rock and Kevin Hart are harnessing Danny DeVito and Danny Glover. And that just seems great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was like, that's perfect. Because what I loved about the first one, and I think I'm going to love about this one, is how you have these character actors portraying, they portrayed the kids so well, and now you have them portraying other characters. Right. So they're not really themselves. It's not like The Rock in whatever.
Right.
It's like a parody of himself. I think that's amazing.
You know what it made me think? And I feel a little bit guilty for thinking this, but... Podcast at PennCinema.com. It made me think Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson are pretty good actors.
Yeah.
Like, when they were doing their thing, like, it was really interesting to see them channel sort of a different character within their character as, and even Jack Black also. You know, seems pretty talented. And I think this movie, this is going to be a big one. Christmas. Opens at Christmas of this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just right around the corner.
The next level.
Somehow they got a movie out before 2020. I didn't think it could happen.
Hard to believe. And Danny DeVito looks so old and sort of perfect as whoever he is.
Yeah.
What a grandfather.
Yeah, grandfather of the guy who was The Rock last time.
Yeah.
So tell me about Spies in Disguise 2.
All right, this was my pick for Trailer of the Week.
Oh, yeah?
Now, I have to admit, is this the second trailer...
I had seen, it's a new trailer.
Was there, but it's the first Spies in Disguise, or is it a sequel to Spies in Disguise? I'm pretty sure it's the first.
I think it's the first.
Because it certainly was new to me.
Yeah.
And it's from, I'm going to stretch a little bit. Who, Blue Sky Production, I think it's called. They did a movie, I'm blanking on it, but I loved it. But anyway, Spies in Disguise stars Will Smith, who currently has been on my mind for Gemini Man. And I saw him I saw the trailer for Gemini Man, and it leaves me a little bit like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought Will Smith in the Spies in Disguise trailer 2 was really funny, and this trailer made me laugh out loud. Sitting in a room by myself watching a trailer on the computer, laughed out loud 2 or 3 times.
Whoa.
And made me really want to see this movie, and made me remember why I love Will Smith. Not trying to take him too serious or be an action star or, you know, super buff or tough guy. Just freaking hilarious. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, funny.
He gets turned into a pigeon, right?
Yes. Yes, he's like the world's greatest super spy. And then none other than Tom Spider-Man Holland is like a little kid who accidentally gives him this potion who turns him into a pigeon. And yeah, it looks amazing. It's worth the 2.5 minutes.
Wow.
Spies in Disguise, trailer 2.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a kid's movie, but I'm down.
All right.
I'm on board. Shaun the Sheep Farmageddon.
Yeah. Now, this is Shaun the Sheep. This is a spinoff. We're connected to somehow the Wallace and Gromit? No?
It's a similar style.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Are they connected?
There might be a connection there, but okay. it might be a spinoff, or it might just be, I don't know. I'm not qualified.
Yeah.
But this is clearly, like, when I say kids movie, like, Spies in Disguise is kids, like, meaning young teenagers.
Yeah.
This is kids, like, elementary school.
Right.
And trailer looks funny, like, whatever, you know, it's cute, kind of amusing.
So what you're saying is almost at your level.
Almost. Right. If you talked me through it, I'm sure I could find it. If you would help me along, spell it out. With your tutelage,
you might be able to.
I could struggle through.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are the trailers for this week. Check out Jumanji. Check out Spies in Disguise trailer too. Let's move into some what has been going on this week. What happened at the theater this week? What's going down? It's a hot one.
Yeah.
Were people in here getting away from the heat?
So hot.
What was going on?
Well, Spider-Man finally delivered the first sequel to deliver on expectations all year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, I guess, Avengers is a sequel. And Toy Story was a sequel, but didn't really quite deliver, even though it was a $118 million opening. But, Spider-Man Far From Home, which we're going to talk about in a minute, I loved it, and everybody who came to see it loved it, although I did read some weird mixed reviews online.
Good.
But everybody I talked to in person, like in the lobby of the various Penn Cinemas, really enjoyed it. Opening this week, it's an interesting week because we just opened Spider-Man, and then in 2 weeks, you have Lion King, which is at least a $200 million opening.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do the week between? You plunk in two 90-minute long R-rated movies, cross your fingers, and hope for the best.
For the best.
So this weekend we have the masterpiece called Crawl.
Alligators.
Alligators. The Thinking Man. What do we want to call that one? The Thinking Man's Sharknado.
Sharknado.
Yes, yes. We have The Thinking Man's Sharknado in Crawl. And then the other one that opens, I think, has some hope, Stuber.
Mm-hmm.
I put Stuber in a pretty good auditorium, pretty big auditorium. I think it'll be what you would call like counter programming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody who's seen Spider-Man and sort of seen Yesterday and seen some of the bigger movies, are you looking for a movie? What tips me off that this is going to be a real popcorn movie, like an easy movie? It's 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, so it looks short, sweet, funny.
Yeah.
You know, rated R. And so Crawl and Stuber both open with Thursday night openings and are basically, I don't want to say filler, but that's what they're doing. They're taking up space between two monster weekends with Lion King opening the following Thursday.
So what does this make you think about Stuber? Because I had mediocre to high hopes that I would be entertained.
Oh, I think that's justified. I think it's going to be good.
You just think it's timing-wise? It's just timing-wise?
No, I think they plunked it right in between. Like, I don't think it's going to be good enough to be a 4th of July movie.
Right.
And I don't think it's going to be good enough to hold its own against Lion King.
Right.
And that makes me think the studio thought the same thing and saw an open weekend and decided to plunk it right in there.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, we were talking about Spider-Man Far From Home, a.k.a. European Vacation.
Nick Fury, Far From Happy.
Spoilers, because... Especially for this movie, if you haven't seen it, check the time codes and then come back for what we were watching and reading this week, because there's lots to talk about here and lots of things that would definitely take away from the movie if you heard them.
Yeah.
So, Spider-Man Far From Home, what's your review?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was 100% on board, thoroughly entertained. There was lots of – I feel like I want to see it again. I don't know if I will just because of the timing, but I feel like there's even more Easter eggs in it and little treats if I go back and watch it a second time that I'll catch.
Yeah. I am with you. I want to start off and I want to just get this out of the way. I absolutely 110% love this movie. I don't know if I can say it's the best Spider-Man movie because I still feel like Into the Spider-Verse might hold that reign for me. But as far as Spider-Man movies go, it's as good, if not better, than Homecoming. Like, they didn't lose any steam whatsoever. Like, it's 100% solid. Probably, I'm going to say it's better than Homecoming because I feel like the villain is one of the best Marvel villains, period.
Whoa.
Just because he's relatable. His like goals are cool. He's not like overdone. He's not over the top.
He's got a good backstory.
Good backstory. He ties into the whole universe. You know, he has lasting effects on the universe, even though he's not a major player. Like, all of that makes him great. Here's the thing that I'll have to say. I wasn't as wowed as I thought I would be. And Spider-Man's my favorite hero. And I thought I was going to be like, oh, man, it's so great. And I don't think it has anything to do with the movie. I think, for one of the first times in my life, I might have experienced superhero movie overload or whatever they call it. I think that Avengers was so big and so great and it's still happening that it's like, I don't know that you could have put anything right after it and had me blown away so close.
The word you're looking for that they use sometimes in this scenario is fatigue.
Fatigue, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah,
yeah, superhero fatigue. So, amazing
if
movie.
David
Absolutely
Moulton,
love it.
If David Moulton might possibly be experiencing superhero fatigue, yikes.
Yeah. Now, granted, since doing this podcast, I also see a lot more movies than I had been seeing before, so that might also
True.
have something to do with it.
Like in years past, you might not have seen Dark Phoenix.
Right. Or
Men in Black.
Hellboy or Men in Black or any of these other like blockbuster movies.
It's funny because I've been doing this podcast the same number of weeks as you.
Yeah.
I didn't go see Hellboy.
She saw the other ones. Okay.
I wish our listeners could have seen the sincerity with which David just came at me when he said, "But you see the other ones."
Self-defense. Blasted from all.
What was the line you used in school? You defended yourself and you didn't even think about it.
Yeah. I wouldn't even think about it.
I wouldn't even think about it. Such a badass.
I was such a dork. And then it was like a year or two later, she threw that back at me. Remember when you said that? You thought you were so cool. And I was like, oh, I totally had forgotten
totally
that.
Totally am cool.
But I am cool. Don't you ever do it. But that aside, like, I want to see this movie again. And I think after I see it the second time, I'll come out of it with the reaction that I wanted to see.
I loved this movie. I struggled a little bit with, they made Nick Fury really like kind of a bad guy. Not in a villain way, but like in a tough guy way. Like he was so kind of like, the tension between him and Spider-Man was like a little bit like over the top or,
but
what was that all about?
There's a reason why he feels off the whole movie.
Why?
Did you watch through the credits?
Yeah, I did. Oh,
he's a scroll.
He's
the whole movie.
He's
not himself.
Yeah.
He's being played by Talos from Captain Marvel. So he's being replaced as a helping hand so he can be in two places at once.
So I saw that. I did watch that second stinger.
Yeah.
Walk me through the significance of that.
Okay. So basically, Nick Fury is off in space doing something. We don't know what.
Okay.
On some sort of space station with a bunch of Skrulls.
Which explains why he, and I'm putting that in quotes, said, don't mention her name when Spider-Man said, what about Captain Marvel?
Yeah, he was very defensive about her.
Because the Skrulls would be more defensive about their history with Captain Marvel.
Right, because she's their savior or whatever. Right. And I thought this is one of the greatest stingers in a long time. One, because they were all mostly the stingers. They started off as cool little things, and then they just became like building up for Infinity War and stuff like that. And then now this is building up to something else. But it also has, how long was he not Nick Fury? Or how long has Fury been not around? I think it's a really short period of time. But, and what is he doing in space? Like, what's going on there? The interesting thing that someone pointed out online, and they even said, we're just grasping at straws here, but in Captain Marvel, so basically any time since Captain Marvel, he could have been not himself. And in Captain Marvel, he says to prove that he's himself, he says, I can't eat toast if it's cut horizontally. And then someone said, in Avengers Age of Ultron, Nick Fury cuts his toast horizontally and then eats it. And they're like, could that have not been Nick Fury? And they're like, but then again, I mean, like, there's no way they would have known they would have made that line, you know, years beforehand,
right,
or whatever. So that's just one of those interesting things.
But that's such a specific line to write. Like, why would you write that? Like, why are they talking about toast?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're like, could it have been replaced at that period of time? I really honestly think this is like a post blip thing, because Talos and his wife, the way they act, they don't act like they've been doing this forever. They're kind of like, they're asking where the Avengers are.
A little bit new at it.
Yeah, they're like, they're asking where the Avengers are, and I don't know what to tell them.
Right.
Or, you know, we only came here to give them the glasses, but, you know, things got derailed and some stuff happened and we had to step in. first off, I love Ben Mendelsohn as Talos. I think he plays that character so well. I thought, so the stinger was great, and that it explained a lot of why he was acting kind of a little over the top for Fury.
Okay, so let's go to the first stinger.
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance of the Daily Bugle revealing Spider-Man's real name?
Well, first off, back this up a little even further into the stinger. How awesome is it to see J. Jonah Jameson played by what's his name?
Yeah.
From the old Spider-Man movies, but he's the perfect J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, it's so great.
Yeah.
So who knows what it could mean? It could, there's a lot of interesting things in the stinger, and I've been watching stuff because that's what I do. One, you see he swings past the old Avengers Tower, which is getting kind of remodeled.
Okay.
And I guess there's a sign that says, big things are coming. One in a circle, two in a circle, three in a circle, ellipsis, dot, dot, dot. The logo for the four Fantastic Four is a four in a circle, and they have a big tower called the Baxter Building. So like people are like, I wonder if they're getting ready to introduce the Fantastic Four. So there's that. And then the storyline of his identity has been revealed. It's happened a couple times.
Okay.
There's a couple different ways you can go with it. I think one time he did join the Fantastic Four as a result of it. One time Doctor Strange put him in touch with a demon that erased everyone's memory. You know, another time he did it for Civil War, which has already come and passed. So it's, who knows what it could mean. Whatever it means, it's changing. It's going to make his life a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
So,
especially because throughout the movie, he kind of made a big deal about like, oh, I can't because my identity to be revealed and, you know, ruin everything and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
My classmates will figure it out.
Right. Right.
MJ did anyway.
Yeah.
So.
She was 67%.
I thought she was really good at this role.
I did too. She was great. I also loved I felt like the Tony Stark Iron Man character was totally present throughout the movie, even if, you know, just through a series of nods. The greatest, of course, is Edith.
I love that.
Even dead, I'm the hero. Perfect.
Yeah. That was so great. That's the AI in the glasses. But that brought something to the front of my mind was the AI in his suit was kind of missing. Because he wore his old suit a couple times.
Right.
Which had Jennifer Connelly was the voice of the AI in it.
Yeah.
And so we never saw that. And then when he built the new suit at the end, it didn't have AI in it, which I thought was kind of surprising. I mean, it doesn't really affect the movie, but you're kind of like, wait a minute, there's this tiny little detail.
Those scenes where he was fighting, what did I call him? Magento?
Magento, yeah.
Magenta, Mysterio.
Mysterio,
when he was fighting Mysterio and he was, like, tripping out, he didn't know what was real. That was, like, really wild.
That was so cool.
That was really cool, really wild.
And he gets hit by the train.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the Netherlands, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all so nice, and he breaks out of prison. The other prisoners lock themselves back in.
Pull the door shut. And the guard's going, you guys okay in there?
Yeah.
That was a great scene.
Yeah.
And the best line of the whole movie is when he says he can't do it, and Nick Fury says, bitch, you've been to space.
I love that line.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So there's so much we could talk about here, but definitely, like, go see this movie. It's 100% solid.
So I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you a little follow-up question.
Yeah.
If you had one window of opportunity to see Avengers again or Spider-Man for the second time, what would you do?
Ooh. I'd probably watch Spider-Man again.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've already been thinking in my head, like, when can I watch this movie again? It's just so good.
Yeah.
And I know there are things that I missed.
Yeah.
Some of the Spider-Man, like, action scenes are some of the best. Just, like, the flipping and the and the running around and stuff. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So.
Fun fact, Marley is heading off to Prague in the fall to study.
And become Night Monkey?
Yeah. Yeah, so she's going to be Night Monkey. Yeah. And I watched a movie with her, and it was fun to, you know, make some jokes about Prague and stuff. Did you know it's pronounced Praha?
Praha?
That might not be true, but there's different ways to say it in different languages, and one of the ways is Praha.
And you heard it here.
There's a scene.
Podcast at PennCinema.com.
There's, in the credits, when they give in, like, you know, how they put a stamp, like, filmed in New Zealand or wherever it's filmed, there's a little stamp for the Prague Film Commission or whatever.
Yeah.
And the way it's designed graphically, the first three letters on the left side of the logo are P-R-A, and then there's a vertical line, and then there's like four different ways to finish that word. One of them is Praha, one of them is Prague, one of them is Prowo, and yeah.
That's interesting.
So look for that next time you watch it.
Slapback, how did you like the way they handled the blip?
Why are we calling it the blip now and not the snap?
Well, I guess an average person in that universe would not know what happened.
Oh, right.
So they just called it the blip.
The blip.
They know it has to do something with the Avengers.
Yeah, I thought they handled it well. This guy, Brad. Brad and Chad.
Yeah. I like how they were like, the one kid's like, somehow my younger brother's older than me now.
Right. He's like, I'm not sure.
I loved how they showed them disappearing at the game.
Yep.
And then when they showed them come back, they were in the middle of another game and they like hit each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was great. So
no, anyway. That was cool.
Cool. Listener notes for this week. Welcome back to the regular show, by the way, if you skipped the spoilers.
Is there anybody that does that?
I think there are.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. Let me know.
I had enough people ask me to put the time codes in there for me not to think that there are people who skip.
I wouldn't know how to do that. If I was listening to a podcast, I wouldn't know.
Fast forward. You look at the notes. Yeah. It tells you when spoilers are, and you just fast forward to when it says the end.
Okay.
And there you go.
The Mystery Gobble is back.
Yeah.
And he had some news of his own, which we'll pass along for him. He wanted our listeners to know that Daniel Craig aside, James Bond, it was reported in London on the BBC, would likely have contracted chlamydia by now. You're welcome. This is the kind of hard-hitting news you can count on from the Penn Cinema podcast.
From the Mystery Gobble.
From the Mystery Gobble.
Yeah. Yeah. We also had a email here from Pirate Dave, and he corrected us on some things. He said that I was calling a character Bonesaw in, what's that movie that I said he was a bad, the Knives Out?
Yeah.
I said he was a bad, no, not Knives Out, it was Black and Blue. I said that I was like, oh, he played Bonesaw in Marvel. He said Bonesaw was a wrestler in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. And Crossbones is the character that he played in Avengers. So that
and
was
you listeners should all be jealous, because when Pirate Dave sends us email, he doesn't just send an email. He sends pictures with it.
Full-on pictures. And
he cites sources.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chris Hall Productions also wrote us this week. He got off his high horse and said, I ain't scared.
I ain't scared.
Yeah. I got to write you guys in.
Attaboy. Boy.
If you make fun of me, because you're going to make fun of me either way. And he corrected us in a bunch of things. I don't even know. Should I just read these off? I'm going to just do it.
Is he the one who said about lowering the bar? Apparently we suck so bad. Chris, lower the bar, Hall.
Oh, he's a new nickname.
Lower the bar, Hall has called us out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got five incredibly hard-hitting things. He said, let's go ahead and get a few things out of the way before we unpack this email. Penn was in a rage at that point.
Yeah. That's when I clicked delete.
Delete.
So I don't even know what the corrections were.
He said, number one, it's Andy Samberg, not Adam.
Yeah. I felt dumb when I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, The movie that Paul Rudd always plays a clip from is Mac and Me, not Mike and Me, that he guesses that's my secret tape. Mike and Me. Crossbones, not Bonesaw. Pirate Dave already got you there. Calm down. Enola Holmes sounds like a name of a swanky restaurant community. A retirement community.
Retirement community.
Yeah. And then he said, cut the liberal BS.
Was that last one sarcastic? Or do we know Chris well enough to know if that was sarcasm or...
Who knows? PodcastPenCinema.com. If you know Chris Hall.
Lower the bar.
Productions.
I will say I felt really dumb for the Adam Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, I can't believe that. So, well, there you
like
go.
It's like me calling her Kathy McKinnon or something. You know?
Which, let's be honest, is not out of the wheelhouse of possibilities.
Right.
And not out of the wheelhouse for me not to catch at all.
Totally could happen.
Yeah.
David, what are you doing with your time?
Oh, my.
Where you at? You only have so many minutes in a day.
Yeah.
What are you doing with them besides watching movies and trailers?
That I didn't watch. I had a busy week. I was doing flowers for an important to me wedding, and so that took up most of the last half of the week.
What does that mean, doing flowers?
I am a florist.
Attaboy.
And one of the things I do is flowers for people's weddings on occasion.
So what does that involve? Like, if you want to do flowers for someone who's important to you,
mm-hmm.
you got to, like, what, make up a list and you got to go buy them?
First, I check my list to make sure they're important to me. It's very short.
Is that a long list or a short list?
Yeah, it's a short list. Right. I use invisible ink, too, so I got to hold it up to a light. I don't want anyone to know if they're on the list or not.
Can you erase that? Like, can people be on the list and then off the list later?
Marker over top.
Yeah,
no one will ever know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it usually involves a lot of, if it's a wedding, like if I'm doing flowers for someone, that's all on me and my creative decisions. But if I'm doing wedding flowers, it involves several meetings with the bride and whoever else is helping them to find out what they want, what, you know, and maybe depending on what it is, we'll do a run through to make sure it's exactly how they want. Because I don't own a shop or anything.
Right.
So, it's expensive to do, and it's costly if I make a mistake. So you got to get it right and got to do what the bride wants.
The high-stakes world of florists.
Florists, yeah. Yeah. If you have a shop, this is one of the – so I was – this friend of mine, one of the ways that – one of the keys of our friendship is flower stuff. And so most weddings I could be like, I'm pretty sure they'll like this, you know, because they're not like a floral critic.
They don't have a critical eye.
Yeah. But this person, I was like, I've got to get it right. And so I felt a ton of pressure to get this one spot on. And as I was doing the flowers, my explanation was, it's like, you know, if I worked at a shop and I mess up, I turn around and just start again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I cut my losses.
Right.
If I make a mess, if I mess this up, I can't turn around because I don't have any more supplies.
Right.
And so the pressure was on.
Yeah.
So it was a couple of days of just doing, and I didn't do a whole lot of. I mean, I did her bouquet and the boutonnieres and the bridesmaids bouquets, but it took about 11 hours. I mean, it's because I'm working by myself, so I've got to do everything by myself.
Right.
But so it took about 11 hours of prep time, and then there's a little bit of responsibility at the wedding since I did them to make sure that they like are presentable or the right people have the things or teach the guys how to put their boutonnieres on and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's a lot of work. It turned out really well. I feel like I could sleep for a couple days. But so that took up most. But I didn't watch anything this week at all. I did get into a couple different podcasts covering the subject of Waco and the Branch Davidians in 1998. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah. So just learning about that kind of stuff and like what happened there and what the hostage situation was, what the cult situation was, you know, how it all went down, how it was a huge mess. So I found that really interesting. But that's just my wacky world. What have you been doing?
Well, I have big news.
Oh, my God. The biggest news?
I mean, it's not Daisy Ridley big, but it's big news. So Amy, my lovely wife.
Yeah.
She's into Arrested Development. Thank God. So now we went back, started, because I wanted to be on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing worse than getting into a series without your significant other and then not being on the same page.
Right.
So we went back to episode one, started it. She loves it. So we've been watching a lot of Arrested Development.
Yeah. How far into it are you?
Well, I'm into the second season. I think she's just rolling in the first three or four.
But you're just waiting for her now.
Well, I'm watching the. I'm rewatching.
Okay,
rewatching.
So you're watching. When you're by yourself, you go to season two.
Well, no, when I'm by myself, I'm not watching. I'm waiting. She and I will catch up together, and then I'll. So I put my progression on hold.
It's amazing what you'll do for the people you love.
For the people you love.
You know? I was talking to a guy at the wedding yesterday, and he's like, he was telling me, I never thought that I'd get into Star Trek The Next Generation. And I'm into it. But Star Trek was my thing to watch on my own, but now my wife's into it, so I got to wait for her.
Our little pup got hit by a horse and buggy.
Oh, my goodness. Is it okay?
She's all right. Luckily, she had no broken bones, but that was a whole big fiasco.
Oh,
and
word.
We've been having, you know, repeated, you know, trying to, I got to take her to the vet. She didn't respond well to pain meds, so I had to take her back to this other vet. So it's been a whole big production. So that's also been sort of, our whole house is sort of oriented around getting her better.
She's going to be okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, she's going to be fine.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But anyway, that's sort of like, you know, when you have like sort of this weird thing and it disrupts the routine of your house and it like, you don't know what's going on.
Did you have the horse put down?
Obviously.
The Amish too? You are going to have to go. So what are we going to talk about next week?
I guess we'll have to just wait and see. I mean, we could do Stuber. I'm not watching Crawl. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch Crawl.
I don't really want to watch Crawl.
Yeah.
There's Stuber. I don't know. All right. Let's wait. Mystery time.
Mystery time.
Wait and see. Maybe we'll do one of our wild and crazy topics.
There you go.
Instead.
What's the one? The syncopedia?
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia.
Syncopedia?
You can talk about synesthesia, and I'll talk about syncopedia, which is it's the condition that I've been living with my whole life, which is where, you know, it's the opposite of an encyclopedic memory. It's... You don't remember anything.
You don't remember anything.
Right.
Get all the names wrong.
Right.
All right. Once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care. Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.